All right, open your Bibles this morning, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. And while you're, or when you find Luke chapter 22, before I read the text, I want you to do me another favor, and that's turn your cell phone off. Let's get through one service without a cell phone going off. What do you say? Just one. We might like it, and we just might turn our cell phones off from henceforth, now and forevermore. So let's try it anyway. If you you say, well, I got to have mine on, and put it on vibrate. But it's always at a crucial point when somebody's cell phone goes off. And I think a lot of times it's just, we just don't remember to turn it off. So if you do that, I'd appreciate it. Now, if your cell phone goes off, we're all going to turn around and look at you, all right? We're all going to turn around and give you the evil eye. All right, look please at verse 54. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. And I want to read a few verses to you. And then I want to speak to you from just one little thought this morning. Beginning in verse 54, it says, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off." Now, you know your Bible. You know that this is the Sanhedrin, the council of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ruling body of the religious group. They brought Jesus to the house of the high priest. And notice in verse 54, it says, "And Peter followed afar off." All right. "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him,'" speaking of Christ. "And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about a space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now that little phrase is also important. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now I want you to go back to verse 6, and at the end of verse 60... And at the end of verse 60, we are told that as soon as Peter denied the Lord for the third time, that the rooster crowed. The rooster crowed, and Peter heard it. I want to speak to you this morning on the fact that this rooster crowed and Peter heard it. And I want to entitle the message this morning, "What Peter Heard." What Peter heard. You keep your Bible open and let's pray, and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being in church this morning. And thank you for each person who is here. I pray that you will bless us richly this morning. Lord, we're just so much in need of hearing from heaven. Lord, we live in an age and a day where there is so little acknowledgement of God. And Lord, where there is so much callousness and indifference to the things of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we will hear this morning, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. And that, Lord, it'll make a difference in our viewpoint, in our perspective. And we'll go out of here in a little while with the joy of the Lord in our hearts because we've heard from Thee. And Father, as You speak to our hearts, I pray that You'll draw each one of us close. Show us, Lord, where we have sinned against You. Show us where we have failed. And Lord, just convict our hearts and bring us to a place of repentance this morning where, Lord, we get our hearts where they should be and get excited about living for the Lord Jesus in these last days. Father, fill me with Your Spirit and help me as I speak. I need Your help this morning. I do not want to preach this message by myself. So, Lord, help me, and may the Spirit of God deal with each one of us, and we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. I want to speak to you this morning about the sobering sound that was heard by the Apostle Peter when, after his third denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rooster crowed. I have to wonder if anyone else even heard that alarming sound that morning. I know that there were probably a lot of people that heard it with their ears, but did they notice it? Did they pay attention to it? Did they hear it? Well, I want you to know that when that rooster crowed, Peter heard it. He heard it. And God used it to speak to his heart. You know, as troubled as Jerusalem was, and with all the activity that was abounding, I mean, everybody knew something big was about to happen. And yet here is this rooster crowing in the morning, a common sound. I mean, it was not unusual. It happened every morning. Here is this common, normal sound. But I wonder, was it recognized in that early morning hour? But you can be sure Peter heard it. Peter recognized it. It had a message to his heart from God. It is a deep truth, but yet one we need to consider, that what you hear depends upon what you are. What you hear depends upon what you are. The meaning which we find in any voice or in any sound is largely determined by our own selves. You see, there is no doubt that the Apostle Peter was not the only one that morning that heard that rooster crow. Through the tense night of agony, I dare say there were probably a lot of folks who stayed awake all through the night, didn't want to miss a thing. They stayed awake all through the night so that as the hours passed and the morning sun started its slow rise, there were a lot of people still awake. And so they probably heard this rooster crow. Whether consciously or unconsciously, they heard the crowing that morning. They might not have even remembered that they heard it. Had you asked one of them, "Did you hear that rooster crow this morning?" "Oh, no, I didn't hear that." "No, I didn't hear that, but yet it did crow." But I assure you, Peter heard it. You see, for Peter, there was something in that crowing that was inaudible to everybody else. For he heard it not just with his ears, but he heard it with his very soul. There was a message connected to that crowing rooster for Peter, and he heard it. What you hear depends on more than just the sound. It depends upon what is in your heart. If someone was awake and had been suffering through a long, agonizing night, that rooster crowing that morning would have been comfort for him. You ever notice when you're sick that the nights just go on forever? It just seems like morning is never going to come. There's just something about the night. If you have a cold, when the sun goes down and it gets nighttime, all of a sudden your cold intensifies. You get all stuffy and you start coughing and you can't rest and your fever goes up. It's just the way it is. And so for the rooster crowing in the morning, for a man hearing it who has been agonizing all night long, it is a comforting sound to him, because it signifies to him that the darkness of the night is passing. If you were a working man and you heard the sound of a rooster crowing in the morning, it has a different meaning to you than it did for the fellow that was sick. If you're a working man and you hear the rooster crowing in the morning, it is saying to you, hey, it's time to get up. That rooster was your alarm clock. I was telling some folks out in the hall, I grew up out in the country down in West Virginia, and my grandfather always had a hen house, and he always had roosters, and we had one that my grandfather used to say it was retarded because it didn't crow in the morning, it crowed in the evening. And he used to call it our retarded rooster. And, so if a guy is a working man and he hears that rooster in the morning, it is a sign and a token to him that another day is about to begin. So it's time to get up. But to the Apostle Peter, when he heard the rooster, it was a quick reminder of his boasting and of his cowardice. That little girl said, you're one of his disciples. Oh, no, I'm not. He was afraid to identify with Jesus. It was a sign to him of his cowardice. It was a warning message that Jesus had given to him just a few hours before. So when he heard this rooster crow, it spoke to his heart like his heart had been pierced with an arrow. A rooster crowing as the sun was rising, that was so commonplace. Nobody else probably even paid attention to it. Nobody else even heard it. But Peter did, and that sound pierced him right down to his soul. Now, let me make just a few points of application about this matter. I'm preaching to you on what Peter heard. Let me give you a few thoughts that hopefully we can tie together. And they're just little pointed truths about how the Lord often works in our lives. First of all, let me say, God can use a simple thing to jog the memory. God can use a simple, simple thing. You see, what the Lord wanted to do here was to waken Peter. He wanted to jolt Peter, just shake him a little bit, and bring back to memory what he had forgotten. And he did just that through the crowing of this rooster. You see, in this dark hour, when the devil was hounding him, the Apostle Peter forgot Jesus. He forgot that 3.5 years of relationship that he had had with the Lord. It just escaped him. And there he is denying that he even knows the Lord Jesus. The Lord had been arrested. All the other disciples fled. Jesus is now standing before the Sanhedrin, and the air was thick and heavy with treachery, and Peter is standing around the fire with some soldiers and with some of the folks in the area, and someone recognizes Peter. Uh-oh, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's been found out. And as we read the text, we see what he does. He denies that he even knows the Lord Jesus. Oh no, I'm not one of his followers. And he even cursed so others would think that he was not a friend of the one who was just a few yards away being interrogated. Now you might think that after this blatant show of disloyalty from Peter, that the Lord Jesus would have been angry with him. You would think that the Lord Jesus would have used nothing short of a huge clap of thunder and maybe an earthquake to shake the ground under his feet in order to wake him up and to jolt his memory and to bring him back to reality. Wait a minute, Peter. We're friends. Wait a minute, Peter. What do you mean you don't know me? What do you mean you're not one of my disciples? And you would think that the Lord would have used some major shakeup in order to strike panic into his heart and cause him to wake up. But our Lord was wiser than us. There was no clap of thunder to awaken him. There were no angels that filled the sky and to make an announcement like they did when Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger. No, the thing the Lord used to jolt Peter's memory was an ordinary old chicken crowing. Amazing. Peter had heard that ordinary sound thousands of times before. But the Lord knows that memory is a light sleeper and is easily awakened. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to spark a memory, does it? You know, a song, a familiar fragrance, a voice, and suddenly the past is back with us again. We can find an old letter in a shoebox. We can find an old picture stuck under a mat somewhere. And in a moment, we are right back wandering through the years that vanished a long time ago. And you know, often when we have sinned and when our hearts are growing hard, memory is what wakes us up. That's one reason why the Lord Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper. He gave us the Lord's Supper, Paul said, so that we would remember him. This is one advantage to having the Lord's Supper every 6 weeks like we do around here. There are some churches that they have the Lord's Supper every service. There are some they have it every Sunday. There are some that only have it once a year. Every church is different. But the Lord said, as oft as you do this, in remembrance of me. And I like the way we do it here every 6 weeks. That's not so routine that you don't pay attention to what you're doing. And it's not so seldom that it becomes a rite or a ritual or we add it to salvation and say that you must take communion in order to get to heaven, like some folks do. But what are we doing when we have the Lord's Supper? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. The Lord Jesus just gave us a way to shake us a little bit and jolt our memory. You're sitting there and you're thinking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And all of a sudden a plate comes by and it's got a little piece of bread in it. And the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart out of the Scriptures and says that the bread is a token of my body which is broken for you. And you sit there and realize, wait a minute, I remember that Jesus found me one day. I remember that his body was broken for me. When the bread comes around, our hearts begin to remember where we were when Jesus found us. And where we were sinners. Lost. undone, on our way to an eternal hell. But a loving Savior reached down in mercy and redeemed our souls. And so that bread and that cup jog our memory and bring us back to the reality that we now have a relationship with God. And folks, that's what Jesus did through this rooster crowing. He just jogged Peter's memory. Peter had forgotten his relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that rooster crowed, he remembered. And it woke him up. There's a second thing I call to your attention. I see in this a message of great hope for Simon Peter. I find there is a message of great hope for Simon Peter. You say, Pastor, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, folks, just think about it. There are birds that start singing in the evening when the sun goes down, and you know that that's a sign that it's time to rest. But the rooster crowing is a sign that the day is about to begin. When you hear, when you heard a rooster crow, you knew that it was morning, and you knew the sunrise was coming, and it was time to get up out of bed and start another day. So the rooster crowing was a clear reminder that after the dark hours of the night, there was going to be hopeful light once again. And I think that our blessed Savior chose that little signal to tell Peter that his night was passing and that the dawn of a new day was ready to shine upon his life. And don't forget, folks, Peter had recognized, he had known this sound since childhood. After many a hard night of fishing on the Sea of Galilee, as he tied up his boat and washed his nets, sitting along the dock of at the Sea of Galilee, many a time he heard the roosters crowing, and they were announcing that a new day had dawned. He knew what that meant. He's a grown man. And he's a man of the outside. He's a man of hard work and toil. He knows what that rooster is signifying when he crows in the morning. And the rooster announced that the long night is over and the day is here. And who can doubt now, with all the bitter memories that that crowing rooster awoke in Peter's heart, who can doubt now that it struck a chord of hope in his heart? It had to shock him into realizing that even though he was a sinner and that he had sinned so blatantly in the night, there was going to be another day for him to make things right and to do the right thing. He was going to have another opportunity for showing his love and his loyalty and his service. No doubt today, there is someone here, or there is someone watching on the internet, or there is someone listening to this on a CD. No doubt today, there is someone, and you have been away from the Lord. You have been living in the night of the Christian life and have gotten away from the Lord. But you came to church today, or you turned on your computer today, or you just put a CD in your CD player today. You've been living in the nighttime of the Christian life. You've gotten away from God, but now here you are now. And when you came in here this morning, you heard the old familiar hymns that reminded you, that jogged your memory of a brighter day when once you were living for God. You remember how easier life was when you were going out soul winning. You remember how happy you were when you were working on that bus ministry years ago. But something happened along the way, and you've gotten away from God. But now you've come in here this morning and you've heard the familiar hymns and you've felt that familiar spirit of the Lord in this place, and now God's using it to jog your memory and to remind you, hey, listen, you've gotten away from me. I think it's time for you to come back. That's exactly what happened to Peter in this passage of Scripture. It was the Lord Jesus just speaking to his heart. So now in the service today, the Lord has jogged a memory in you. And isn't that just like the Lord to give you an authentic hope of a new day? Folks, you don't have to live unhappy. You don't have to live with a cold heart towards God. You don't have to live with the chastising hand of God upon your life. No, there's the hope of a new day. And that's just like our Lord. The Lord Jesus sent him a message through the crowing rooster that he still had hope for a new day. My dear friend, listen, if there was hope for the Apostle Peter, then there is hope for you and for me. If you came in this morning and it has been weeks, or maybe it's been months, or maybe it's been years since your heart was in fellowship with the Lord, would you realize, dear friend, that it is not an accident that you came here this morning? It's God that sent you here. In His divine providence, He led you here. Because He knew the songs that we were going to sing this morning. And He knew that those songs would strike a chord in your soul. He knew what I was going to preach on this morning. And He led you here so that you would hear with your own ears and be reminded of the way it used to be when you were faithful and loving God. Has He jogged a memory in you this morning? Has He jogged a memory? It's not an accident, folks. A loving Savior knew that you would be here, and He knew exactly what crowing rooster you needed that would jog your memory of what the Lord has done for you. And His hope is that it will bring you back into fellowship with Him. That's all He wants, is your fellowship. He just wants you to love Him. He just wants you to be where He wants you to be. He just wants you to be close so that He can put His blessing upon your life. But then there's a third thing I call to your attention. I want you to turn over in your Bibles for just a moment to John chapter 13, just the next book over. And I want to read a couple of verses to you and do a little contrast here. I want to do a little contrast with Peter and another character that is associated with the night. Remember, Peter denied the Lord through the night. And I want to read to you about another character here in the Bible. Look, please, if you will, at verse 21. It says, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Now, look up here. The story about Peter in Luke 22, this story that I just read here in John, took place just the evening before Peter's denial. Just that evening. All right, so you've got the disciples in the upper room. Jesus is giving them the Lord's Supper when this takes place. Just a few hours, and then Peter denies Christ. Everybody with me on that? So here they are. Here they are. And it says that Jesus looks at them and says, "One of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. Can you see that in your mind? That's just like us, isn't it? Man, think the worst in everybody. I can see him now looking and say, boy, you sorry dog, I bet you're the one that's going to do it. That's basically what he's saying, what they're saying. They're eyeballing each other, giving guilt before a deed has even been committed. Amazing. But that's the way we are. Look at verse 23. So there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John. That's our author here. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. What's a sop? Well, it's a biscuit. All right? You're going to take the biscuit and dip it in the spices, in the vinegar and the spices, in the olive oil and the spices. All right? So he takes the bread, the unleavened bread, and he dips it, and then he hands it to the man that will betray him. That's what he's saying. All right? So I shall give him whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag, he had the money on him, that because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. Now, question. Does the verse end there? No, it does not. You see, the Holy Spirit led John to put one little phrase in there, and that little phrase is very, very important. Judas went out, and John adds, and it was night. When Peter denied, it was night. Now, between Judas and Simon Peter, there is all the difference in the world. Think of this. With Judas, his actions were deliberate. They were calculating. They were cold and sinister. With Simon Peter, his sin was impulsive, spur of the moment. A very quick error in judgment. And John says that Judas sinned and then went out into the night. It was the Holy Spirit's way, listen carefully now, it was the Holy Spirit's way of using the night and the darkness as a symbol of Judas's darkened heart and his evil intentions. But notice the contrast between Judas and Peter. Simon Peter sinned, and while sinning, heard the birds of the morning. The one had made himself a child of the darkness, and the other, for all his sin, had the light of the day break upon his face. What a contrast. You say, well, Pastor, what's the difference? Here it is. Listen, oh my, get this. The difference can be seen in the fact that Judas had let night into his heart before he went out into the night. But Peter, for all of his denials and cursing that night, truly did love the Lord Jesus. And immediately when he had sinned, he heard the rooster crow, and there was bitter memory in that. But there was something more than a bitter memory for Peter, for he also got out of that the promise of another day. And folks, I submit to you that Judas did not get that promise. Judas did not get that promise. When we turn the page of the Bible on Judas, we see him hanging, and the string that was tied around the tree and his neck gave way, and he plunged to a horrible scene of what is ultimately always the bitter end of sin. From the darkness of night, his dark heart went out into eternal darkness. But Peter turned around after his sin when the rooster crowed. There was the promise of another day. And oh, how that day came. Do you remember? I mean, just a couple of days after, this all happened on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning is when this happened. You say, well, I thought Jesus was crucified on Friday. Yeah, I know. But how can you get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday crucifixion? You can't. Well, I always thought it was on, you know, Good Friday and all. Hey, every Friday's a Good Friday. I love Friday. No, the Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m, still does today. I've been to Israel 13 times. And I know how their clock works. They don't look at it like we do. Our day goes from midnight to midnight. Jews go from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And so if they put him on the cross on Wednesday before 6, well, then we know they put him on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he died at 3. And they took him down and put him in the grave before 6 o'clock, because at 6 o'clock, that's when the holy day started. So he had to be in the tomb. So Wednesday 6, Thursday 6, one day. You with me? Thursday 6 to Friday 6, 2 days. Friday 6 to Saturday 6, 3 days. And it's 6 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. It's now Sunday, the first day of the week. You don't wait till midnight for it becomes Sunday. At 6 o'clock, it's Sunday. Nod your head, you with me? And all of a sudden, here comes these ladies. They're banging on the door of the apostles early on that Sunday morning. And they get up and rub the sleep out of their eyes and open the door. What in the world? He's alive! What? We were just at the grave. We went to anoint his body. He's not there. He's risen. And John bolts out the door. Young, strong, healthy. He bolts out the door. And Peter is grabbing his shoes and throwing them on and throwing a coat over him. And he runs out the door. Peter's up in years. He can't keep up. John's the first one to the tomb. But here comes Peter finally. And when he gets there, John hasn't gone in yet. Out of respect for his elder, John stands by the door and motions. John no doubt peeked inside. He didn't see a thing. But boy, when Peter went inside the tomb, there were a couple angels sitting in there. What are you doing, Peter? Where's the Lord? He's not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. Who was the one that got to go in and verify that Christ had indeed risen from the grave? Peter. Peter. He loved his Lord. He loved Jesus. It was a new day, though. Resurrection. 53 days later, on the day of Pentecost, they're all in the upper room, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God fell upon them. And they said, Come on, guys, we're about to explode. For 10 days, they've been cooped up in that upper room praying. They're ready to just explode. They got to tell somebody. And now they got the power. And now they had the promise. Now they got the power. So out the door they go and go to the Temple Mount. And men and brethren gather. And thousands of people came. And all of a sudden one of them started preaching. Which one was it? It was Peter. He got the promise of a new day. Now you may be sitting here today wondering, but Pastor, you don't know how far away from God I am. No, I don't. I don't need to know. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done since I got away from God. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't know, and I don't need to know. That's not the point. Because I know this. I know that there's a God in heaven that loves you. And I know there's a God that wants you to love Him back and serve Him with all your heart. And I know that that God can turn your night into day. I know He can do that. I've watched Him do it before. If you'll just let Him do it. You see, that rooster jogged Peter's memory. A memory of love and fellowship, of faith, and of one who took him when he was nothing and when he deserved nothing and changed his life. Can you see him now? He's standing outside by the fire. And there are several folks around, and he's warming his hands. And just a few feet away, within eyeshot, you say, how do you know that? Because it says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter saw him. Just over here is where Jesus is being interrogated. Peter's standing there warming his hands by the fire. Little girl comes up and says, I know you. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. You're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Mind your own business. I'm not one of his disciples. A little while later, somebody else comes along and says, hey, I recognize you. I was up in Galilee. I saw Jesus and a bunch of men following around him. You were one of them. Oh, no, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. Wasn't me. Now, mind your own business. I don't know him. I don't know that man. He warms his hands. And the night continues on. And finally, somebody else says, I recognize you. You are one of his disciples. And Peter curses. You'd have never heard cursing come out of the mouth of the Savior. Never. And everybody knew it. And so old Peter thought, if I curse, they'll know I haven't been hanging around him. And he cursed and denied. And as soon as he denied, that third time, that rooster crowed. And look at the next verse in Luke, in our text. Look at the next verse. What's it say? It says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Hey, the memory was jogged. Peter got it. Peter understood it. He knew what the Lord was doing. And as soon as that rooster crowed, I don't know if anybody else heard it crow, but Peter heard it crow. And when he did, he remembered. And he turned around and he looked. And over here, completely isolated from what was going on out there, was the Lord Jesus being interrogated by the Sanhedrin. I don't know, doesn't say, but I imagine his back was to Peter. And he's being interrogated by the Sanhedrin. And no matter what was going on, at the very moment that Peter made his third denial and that rooster crowed and Peter's memory was tripped, Peter looked, and at the same time, Jesus turned around and looked at him. Oh, can you imagine that? Did it work? Yeah, it did. Because Peter went out and wept bitterly. A few days later, first one in the tomb. A few days after that, the one that stands up and preaches at Pentecost. When that memory was jogged, it was the dawn of a new day. My friend, you've now come. You're here. You heard the old familiar songs. You heard the choir. You heard the word of God. What does God use to jog a memory of better days when you were right with him? Would you let God speak to your heart this morning? That's all he wants to do, is just enjoy your fellowship. He wants you to walk with him.